It's 6:02, so we will start our regular city council meeting. We have had a study session, and now we're moving on to the regular meeting. So we will start our meeting with a moment of silence and then the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Thank you. Naomi, could we have the roll call, please?
Yep. Garth Baldwin. Karina Higgins.
Present.
Mike Hill.
Here.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
Richard May.
Present.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Present.
And Eric Davidson requested to be excused.
I have a motion to excuse Eric, please.
I second.
Did anybody?
Oh, I second.
You second it. Who first it?
Oh, I thought, oh, sorry, I'll first it.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought you did.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Pass 5-0. Okay, thank you. Okay, the first item is the public hearing. This is the second part of the public hearing. Persons speaking on any issue will be allowed 5 minutes. Additional non-repetitive testimony will be allowed after all testimonies have been heard. Testimony can also be sent to City Council at cityofblaine.com. This is the second part of the six-year transportation improvement program, and Mr. Gandy, as Public Works Director, is going to be in charge. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council, and the general public. We have the second reading for the 2029 Blaine TIP project. So the first one that we wanted to discuss is the Bobbitt channelization and corridor improvements. This basically extends from the state route of 543 to Ludwig. The improvements made will be a turning lane added to it. The total cost, as estimated, is $2,827,000 right now. FedMAP will be $1.1 million, and TIP grant will be $1.16862, and to be decided is $500,000. The second is the Peace Portal, State Route 548 grade separation. This project is actually in the current, we are looking at the design phase right now. So we just let you know, we just got an approval for $9.5 million for the engineering and design proposal for this one. So right now we have only $96,900 in this one, and we have a grant from State Washington State Department of Transportation for $2.2 million. The third project that we had is a downtown revitalization, where we are going to improve the surface as well as underground infrastructure, including sewer, water, and electrical. We will also be doing improvements to the sidewalks, trees, and other beautification projects. The total cost for this is almost $1.61 million. Out of it, TIB grant is $490,000. The fourth project that we have is the Peace Portal Alleyway project. The total cost is $50,000. Funded is $50,000, and the total cost is approved. Project is $300,000. This is actually at the back close to the railway line with BNSF. The fifth project, the ADA transition plan, this is all by citywide, so we are looking at doing all the ramps in accordance with the ADA classification as well as the project is the U Avenue upgrades. If you look at it, this is a project that will be in conjunction with the FEMA grant. This is the road that goes at the back of the, in front of the Public Works, Public Works shop. So during the flood and other aspect, the road was deteriorated because of a culvert underneath, and there's a settlement which need to be addressed. And that's why this is another project for us. Payment preservation plan, this is all citywide. So we're basically like trying to do, preserve the all the pavement asphalt that we have it in city. Any deteriorating asphalt will be like preserved, and any upgrades that we need to get it done to have the pavement preserved. Semiamu Parkway shoreline restoration, it is along the state park again. It's basically like, you know, if you look, during, this is like, Gary, can you give an explanation on this one, please?
Sorry. So this project, the roadway, received some damage, not only the roadway, but actually it pushed some of the shoreline back on the inside of the parkway. So this project is to do a study, take a look at it, and see what needs to be done to prevent further damage to the area.
Project number 9 is again the Peace Portal Community Trail Phase 3. This is like a trail project that we are looking at from Mills 2 Avenue to Bell Road. So this is a continuous project again. Project 10 is a D Street improvement that goes to 14th Street to 16th Street intersection. This is basically a turnaround project for sightline issues. Project 3 is again D Street improvements. That is again a grade line for a sightline issue that we'll be working on. And that is all for this TIP.
Hey, thank you very much.
Any questions?
Any questions for council to Mr. Gandhi? If not, it's an opportunity for anyone in the audience. Naomi, what we generally tend to do is allow the online people to have a chance to respond first before the in-person.
Yes, so if there's anyone currently online who wishes to speak on the public hearing for the six-year TIP, please unmute yourself and or raise your hand. So at this time, I don't see anyone.
Okay, excellent. So this is an opportunity for anyone in the audience who wishes to talk on the transportation improvement program to come to the microphone. Again, if you would like to speak on any of the items on this agenda, you have 5 minutes to speak. And please give your name and address before you start. Thank you.
Steve Seymour, 3725 Dana Street, Billingham, also Drayton Harbor Oyster Company. I guess the alley, I mean, last couple weeks ago I asked about the alley plan, and in the earlier discussions on parking, and maybe I've just been out of this loop, but I know the city has a current easement with the railroad for a fourth part of the alley, and I'm wondering, have we no doubt have, ever developed a plan for parking in that railroad easement? And I know everybody says you cannot work with the railroad and all of that, and I understand that. But certainly in the long range, I mean, that area down there probably could provide substantial parking for downtown. We're not talking about railroad crossings and things that typically really run into huge snags with the railroad. We're talking about expanding the existing easement. When I hear the city speak about putting parking down on that northern waterfront area, I think, to me, that would be a huge mistake. That's precious, precious property that could support all kinds of really unique activities. And it would be, in my mind, a shame to put it into a parking lot, you know, paved paradise idea again. The alley area, again, is, I think, would be very suitable for parking. And I would like to see, at least conceptually, and I have never seen, I guess, conceptually, what a parking area in that particular vicinity could look like. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on the transportation improvement program from the audience? If not, I will close the public hearing then. Thank you. We will now move on to audience participation. We have a list of people in the meeting that would like to speak, but again, Naomi, if there's anyone that's online that would like to speak, first of all, you have 3 minutes to speak, and anybody online that would like to may do so.
Yep, if there's anyone online who wishes to speak, please unmute yourself or raise your hand. At this time, I don't have anyone online.
Okay, so then we'll go to our list. And the first person on our list is Sonia Hurt. Sonia, would you please come to the podium, please? Your name and address, and you have 3 minutes to give your presentation. Thank you.
Sonia Hurt, 650 Cherry Street in Blaine. In 2022, the Community Development Department made a presentation to the City Council and noted that they perceived two limitations to development, height and parking. But actually, there was a third one, high commercial rents. We have vacant buildings. They've been vacant for a while. They never get filled. And people tell me they've tried to rent them, but the rents are exorbitant. And now we have one of our successful businesses, a Chamber of Commerce 2023 Business of the Year, who's being driven out of Blaine for that very reason. We won't have a vibrant downtown until all three of these issues are addressed. You can get all the new buildings you want, and they're going to be just the same. If the rents are too high, the people will not be able to rent them. I know that the owners of the Living Pantry have tried and tried. They've approached various empty building owners, and they aren't willing to work with them at all. The other thing I'd like to address is the parking. You keep talking about, oh, we might get 10 or 15% more spaces. That seems ridiculous to me when you are inviting 10,000 people to Blaine for all of the festivals that you want to see happen here. As a property owner, I have to experience all those people parking in my streets because there is no parking for them. You can't get anywhere in Salishan because it is filled with all those tourists. So you really need to address that. It's not, well, a half a space for a studio apartment, or you're going to have one space instead of two for a business. There's a bigger problem. You need to have parking to accommodate all the people you want to bring to Blaine. They will not come. They're not going to drive 60 miles or 100 miles just to get here and discover what a bitch it is to try to find a parking place. and we don't have any form of transportation to get here otherwise. That's way off. We all need to keep in mind that the downtown area should reflect what the residents of Blaine want, not absent Canadian landowners or non-resident developers that are only interested in profits and not the well-being of our city. I never hear them talking about what great things it's going to do for the actual residents and how it'll benefit our feeling of a small rural town. I urge you to refer the Downtown Advisory Committee recommendations to the Planning Commission and allow ample time for the citizens of Blaine to become well-informed and comment on these recommendations. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Ray Leone. Would you please come to the podium? And again, name and address, and you have 3 minutes, sir, to speak.
I'm Ray Leone. I live at 1315 Harrison Avenue here in Blaine, and I'd like to talk on the building heights on the west side of Peace Portal. You know, Blaine could be better, but bigger isn't better, especially there. Although most people living here would say they don't want Blaine to be another White Rock, we must build. If we must build to be better off, let's look at White Rock. Its tall buildings are all behind and not in front, so to block out all else. The city also has zero obstruction to its water views that for them like us is their greatest assets. Zoning codes in place also allow all residents, not just a select few, to enjoy that view. Now, to me, increasing these heights is all about a short-term economic bolus and a bandage because of long-term past city mismanagement. It's not a cure and very well will be a long-term liability. Even more recently, the city literally gave away a commercially zoned waterfront lot that was not built on as hoped and was recently resold at a profit. If you want to build bigger, why don't you look to the east side of Peace Portal? There are several open lots there. But like White Rock, put things behind, not in front. You can get your quick bolus of money that way by working with those owners, and we can keep Blaine by the sea. Why haven't we had a town hall kind of meeting on such an important issue? I mean, the city and the people working together are so much stronger. What we've had is we had this ad hoc committee that had a definite bias to it, and there was some potential conflict of interest among the people on it. I don't understand how that's listening to the city. Arrange for true public output, City Council, please, and make it important impact studies available. Don't ignore us. We didn't elect you to tell us what to do. We asked you to represent us. I remind you, too, that a very short time ago, we went before this, we talked about this whole same proposal with the city. It got a resounding no, and the zoning got changed, and now it's back. It's wrong. Look, Blaine is a unique setting. Whenever I come home to Blaine, I always feel its openness, simple charm. It's being an island without being an island, and see scenery that's simply beautiful. It's a diamond in the rough. Polish us, protect us, but don't sell us out. Don't give away our virtue and our heritage. Yes, development of some sort is inevitable, but don't allow the west side of Peace Portal to be closed in and built up. That is not how we're going to sell and develop Blaine. Separate the west side of Peace Portal from the rest of the downtown district. Our home should not become a game of monopoly for anyone. Call Blaine Sleeping Beauty if you want, but I know that most of us here would prefer that to Frankenstein. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Bill Becht. Would you please come?
So before you start the clock, the finance director was very kind to make copies for everybody. And I also have a copy of six things I think that would help enhance quality of life downtown Blaine. So thank you for that. And I spent 3 hours on this morning. I got it to 6 minutes. I unfortunately have to cut it down to three. Could I request 20 extra seconds?
You may have 20 extra seconds, yes.
So I'll get started, and I got to get through this pretty quick. Thanks for holding the meeting, too, by the way, and I think you should hold more. I have four major concerns for the betterment of downtown Blaine. Numbers one and two. I am wholeheartedly opposed to the current plan to build unsightly, unappealing, now 60-foot-high glass and steel boxes in downtown Blaine. This will be a huge mistake for many future generations and block views for 95% of the citizens and 100% of the visitors. Is this what we want for downtown? I don't think so. What happened to the turn of the century theme? Ken, I misunderstood this because it works with what the town was founded upon. The simple facts are this. The current Ken Imus plans for downtown Blaine the simple facts are this. Resurrect Ken Imus plans for downtown Blaine and also revisit Dan Burton's walkable communities program. The city paid $80,000 for this back in, I think it was 2020. Because of his suggestions, we have bike lanes instead of a parking strip down the middle of Peace Portal Drive. Following these plans and getting the passenger rail stop going will not only ensure all of Blaine's financial woes, but be a real boost for businesses and the citizens here and the visitors from everywhere. Western North America was mostly developed during the Victorian era, 1837 to 1901. Blaine's boom was during this period, as were just about every other town west of the Mississippi. The quaint architecture of the Victorian era with its natural building materials of decorative stone, brick, rock, lumber, stained glass windows, wraparound front porches, turrets, false fronts, ornate tin ceilings, etc. These features are welcoming and invite the heart, soul, and eyes to come closer to visit and enter our establishment. It has worked and will continue to work because it's our history and it's proven. How many of us have been on vacations and visited towns with the turn of the century theme? Thousands of communities, towns and cities across the West have this architecture, and thousands, even millions of tourists come to visit. The turn of the century theme works in these towns and has and would work here, especially with proper leadership and understanding. Number three, no building on the water side of Peace Portal Drive, south of H Street. This would block the view corridor, which is the biggest asset this town has. If you must do it smartly, like south of Oceanside, California, along the Coast Highway, which is just an extension of State Route 99, Peace Portal Drive. Buildings built on the water side must keep their roof lines even with the pavement to protect the views, which is the most precious asset for this community. They don't build on the water side of Marine Drive and White Rock, the lakeside of Penticton and on Lake Okanagan, and in doubt hundreds of other communities near a body of water for the same reasons Blaine shouldn't. Number four, now if the city is in need of revenue enhancing ideas, how about getting on the ball with the Blaine Amtrak stop? It's so close. It's like the city was rounding third base and 3 feet from home plate, they just sat down on their hands and haven't budged for 13 years now. This must change. According to Bruce Agnew with the Cascadia Group, the main thing holding up WashDOT's announcement of the opening of the passenger service via Amtrak for Blaine is that the BC government needs to complete their feasibility study, which would likely be done through Stantec and Kwantlen College. Should I read that? Why do I have time?
I'm afraid that's 20 seconds plus.
This is how the community should be developed, serving the citizens and visitors alike. Give me 5 more seconds. Not with huge glass and steel, postmodernistic, destroy the view eyesores. To sum up, bring back the Ken Imus and Don Burton walkable community plans, call the Surrey Mayor and MLAs, and let's develop this passenger rail stop in a remodeled historic train depot a reality. No ugly 60-foot high glass and steel boxes in our town.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next we have Kathleen Capson. Would you please come up? Again, Kathleen, your name and address, please, and you have 3 minutes.
Kathleen Capson, 1015 Harrison Avenue, Blaine. Dear honorable members of the Blaine City Council, the city staff, Downtown Advisory Committee, if you're here, members of Planning Commission, if you're here. It is understood that Stacy Prachner will present the recommendations of the Downtown Ad Hoc Advisory Committee this evening. Submitted herewith are two reports. The first is parking considerations, and the second is SWOT analysis, which are to be entered into the public records of the City of Blaine. I ask each of you to please carefully read and consider each report. They've been thoughtfully and diligently written by Glenn Pentland, a member of the Downtown Ad Hoc Advisory Committee. Page 15 of the Parking Considerations Report states, the majority of downtown's undeveloped properties are located on the west side of Peace Portal Drive within the five city blocks from F Street to Boblett Street. They cover 130,000 square feet of undeveloped land, 19 properties held by 10 owner groups. There are also several older buildings on the west and east side of Peace Portal that could be developed. It is evident that several hundred new residential condo units could be built along these five city blocks. Page 17 states, providing a large reduction in the minimum required parking code to provide an incentive for developers is a wide departure from the common right size parking principles. Trying to solve one issue by creating another long-time parking issue that impacts the livability and enjoyment of the area may come at great risk. Ask yourselves, who benefits from Peace Portal Drive becoming a battleground for parking? In scenario A on page 17, a 45% shortfall in parking spaces equates to over 200 cars requiring public street parking. The west side of Peace Portal Drive between F Street and Boblett has only about 85 parking spaces on the street in its current configuration. With one full floor of retail required for these buildings, parking spilling from condo buildings onto Peace Portal would be a major problem, impacting businesses and visitors. Upzoning this area to increase density, such as increasing building heights, further complicates this issue, with even more cars, more parking spilling out onto city and neighborhood streets. The eight members of the Downtown Ad Hoc Advisory Committee has had an extremely limited number of meetings in which to form a recommendation. The matter of Blaine's downtown development requires further careful consideration by additional professionals, such as the Planning Commission, a city planner, department heads, and city staff. Does Blaine really want to increase the height limit and decrease the parking requirements along the west side of Peace Portal Drive and then line up with condos and say, mission accomplished?
Excuse me, Kathleen, I'm sorry. Your time is up, and I've given you also extra time, okay? Thank you.
Thank you. You and your predecessors have kept it at Blaine an exceptionally livable, charming city with gorgeous water views and splendid sunsets. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Next up, we have Stephen Tojak. Would you like to come up and address your issue, please?
Hello, Stephen Tojak, 1412 Mitchell Blaine. So, guys, before my 3 minutes begins, I want to just ask, I want one simple thing. I would like the city council to have a really strong meeting with the city planners and really lock down a new, more idea when it concerns the city and the residents, and you can start my time. I'm going to sound like a broken record because a lot of these folks here today already repeat over what I'm going to already say. So I'm not going to discuss the downtown area. I'm just going to discuss my neighborhood. And we all know my concern, along with all the residents along my South Mitchell Street area, is the water view initially. But we have some triplexes that were put up at the end of my street that kind of destroyed a lot of our water view, right? But we also notice a parking issue as well. We have a beautiful street with a beautiful area that's not disastrously congested yet. We see six apartments. We see probably two cars each, just 12 cars, not a lot of parking for those apartments. And what happens with apartments is we have a lot of people that sometimes squeeze their friends moving in or sleep on a couch, whatever, so that could be more cars in the future possibly. Now there's another building going on down there that could be future. So we're going to have a really nasty, congested parking perhaps, not to mention the water view that we love and cherish is being diminished quickly. And that's just my neighborhood. That's not even the big deal with the city, right? City planners are forcing these buildings to put up trees that have been removed to replace the removed trees that all the residents really don't want those trees blocking the water view. So there's already one tree that had to go. Two more have been put up. Another building might be going for adding more trees. And I have photos that show almost no water view, and now we have a water view. So we want to keep that water view. So not to mention, let's have a plan to sit down with the city planners, really look into this parking issue that's not just affecting the ideas of the downtown area, but just our neighborhoods. So that's all, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. We have Don Drigier from Point Roberts. Would you please come up, please?
Thank you, staff members. I am a Canadian citizen, but I have property in Point Roberts, and just want to comment on what a wonderful city you have. And my concerns being involved in real estate development in Canada is if there's no development taking place in Blaine, it's not going to retain the charm that it has. They can't balance their budget under the current structure that you have. And unless you're willing to allow development, you're not going to be able to retain the beauty and the charm that you have right now. What that looks like is, I think, what we're really all concerned about. And there was a comment made earlier that there were people on the ad hoc committee who represented bias. And a person who sat in on some of those, I'd say that's probably true. There were members of the Salishan neighborhood that don't like development who sat in on the council. And they did have a bias against development. And in spite of that, they still advocated for the proposals because they saw that it was something that was a good compromise. What the future development looks like, I think, is something that everybody in this beautiful town has concerns about. And if you look historically, the west side of Peace Portal had development when we talk about in the distant past. I understand everybody would love it if there was nothing there, beautiful oceans, sunsets, but in reality, there are things that need to be done, such as balancing a budget, economic concerns. So I would strongly advocate that the council consider looking at this ad hoc committee's compromised vision and adhering to it, because it wasn't a bunch of developers who said, hey, if it was developers, they would have asked for true density, not the small amount that was apportioned. So I just want to thank you for your time and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for speaking. Okay, and we have Scott Meeker. Would you please come forward? And you were on the committee, so.
Yeah, I thought it'd be valuable for a member of the committee to come forward and say a few words. First of all, I'd like to echo some of the things that Dan said. We have
just a second, Scott. Could you please give your address for the
Meeker,
record?
2458 Street Road, Blaine, Washington.
Thank you.
So we had members of the committee that, like Glenn, for instance, that wrote that report, that were very vocal about the things that are being discussed in that report that you're going to receive, that he wrote up and his SWOT analysis. We had members of the Planning Commission. We had members of the port, and we had members of neighborhoods that had concerns, and we had some people that were landowners. I don't know whether I'd really call myself a developer. I participated in Sky Hill Station to design and build the Starbucks. And one of the reasons I really wanted to do that, and I actually volunteered to initially just help free of charge. All of our kids have come to Blaine schools, and we love the city. And when we came here, there were clothing stores and shoe stores and a McDonald's and all of these things. And the downtown was more vibrant. And over time, it all just faded away. We lost our bank while we've been here. And we just, I just felt that, you know, the other history of the town, other than just turn of the century, is the maritime work and the fishing and I think that is a really important element, and I wanted to help try to infuse that into the downtown area. Built the visitor center at cost. Just wanted to help make the core of downtown Blaine a place that people would want to go to, where they could enjoy the waterfront. And I think that the ad hoc committee, boy, we sure had a lot of discussions, and there were a lot of different opinions, and initially we're trying to get a consensus, and soon we found we couldn't get a consensus. But what we did find is that with some reasonable compromises, we could make a few changes that might make it possible for reasonable development in the downtown core. Two of the votes came in at 5-2, and the last two votes came in at 6-1. And it was a varied group of folks, and some of them said, I can't believe I'm voting for this, but I can see how it's necessary, because we've been asked to help or make some recommendations that would remove impediments to development. And I don't think, the buildings that I've seen, and I've seen three of them so far, one of them I've designed, are not glass and steel. They're beautiful nautical-themed buildings that just be glorious, that reflect light, and they're just not postmodern at all. They're very, like I say, very nautical. The ones that I've looked at and the ones that I've participated in. I don't think my company is big enough to build all those buildings, but maybe one. And I think that they will retain the charm of the city and that they will be beautiful additions to the downtown area. And I think one of the other recommendations, since everybody got a few more seconds, was that the city develop a large parking area in order to relieve congestion in the downtown core. And that was one of the key pieces that everybody felt needed to be part of that recommendation. And everything was done in good faith. And in the end, we were, all of us, I felt, united to try to help Blaine get some development in the downtown core and retain the beauty and the nautical theme that was started. So that's, thank you for your time.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak? You've already spoken. I'm afraid there's no crosstalk. So anyone else would like to come up? Yes, sir. Please.
Excuse me. My name is Kevin Owens. I live at 2283 Seaside Drive in Blaine. And I was on the committee with Scott.
Thanks for being here. Use the microphone, please.
Sorry. I'm a member of the Blaine Planning Commission, and I was asked to represent the Planning Commission on the ad hoc committee. And I'd like to echo something that Councillor Hill said during the study session, which was there was an awful lot of effort put into every single one of those meetings. Members of the committee gave up a lot of time purely voluntarily, and I think made every effort possible to be completely unbiased in their thinking and their assessment of the situations. And I think the first thing to bear in mind is somebody mentioned that they thought there was a conflict of interest on that committee. As far as I'm aware, there was absolutely zero conflict of interest. There were no developers on that committee. Of the nine members, two of the people, one was a planning commissioner, the other was a council member, the other seven members were citizens and business people. The second thing is that there was no recommendation associated with any of the things that the committee discussed with regard to building style, building design, certainly no intention of having glass and steel columns. That was never discussed. It was never part of the recommendations. The other point is that the recommendations that were made were not just pulled out of thin air. They were pulled out of very concrete evidence, data-based research, much of which came from the experience of other communities and other cities. Other cities have reduced their parking requirements significantly and had terrific success with it. The ad hoc committee would not have made that recommendation, A, without first hearing input from the public, B, without having done research, C, without knowing that this was going to go through much more vetting and planning, and D, that it had as its main objective improving the business conditions, the tax base, and the ongoing viability of Blaine. The final point that I would like to make is we had two objectives as a committee. That was to discuss parking and building heights. I said that we had input from the public, and we did. In our first or second meeting, we had at least 15 people come from the Chamber of Commerce, and we listened for 2 hours as they voiced every concern imaginable about what was wrong with this city and what needed to be done to fix it. Amongst the two things that they complained about or voiced the concern about the most, one was affordable housing, and the second was building or property availability that had current systems and competitive lease rates. Those two things are very much combined or related. If we had, and so one of the complaints or the concerns about affordable housing was, we can't find employees. I have a restaurant, I want to hire a server, they make $16 an hour, they can't afford $2,250 for an apartment. They need a 500 square foot space that they can pay $1,200 a month for. They don't have a car, they really rely on public transit. So taking into concern or into account all of that input that we heard from those people, all of the respective views of the citizens who are on the committee, knowing that this was going to go further in process and there would be lots more time to review it in front of the public and public hearings, the recommendations that were made were sincere in their attempt to make business viable in the city of Blaine without destroying the character of the city, but rather increasing the character of the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes, please come forward. Please state your name and your address.
Hello, my name is K.D. Powell, 957 Ruby Street in Blaine. And I'm representing Blaine Arts Council, the newest nonprofit in our town. We're very proud of it. I couldn't help but notice, driving through the very main part of Blaine, how many empty storefronts there are. Have you counted? Like at least nine with multiple windows. And we would like to help out. I remember when I wrote a grant, it asked me to refer to the Blaine Tourism and Marketing Plan of 2019. And in that plan, it was that no storefront should be empty for more than 2 months. It doesn't put a good look on Blaine as people driving through to just see one after another. We would propose to either paint outsides or establish an inside part and feature some of our gifted artists. We are so eager to do this because our goal is to promote art and beautify Blaine. That's it. Thank you, and we would love to see how we can help out. We just don't know what to do first. So I've even approached a couple stores, and I don't know. Any questions?
We can't.
Thank you.
Entertain dialogue. Thank you very much for presenting that. Okay, is there anyone else in the audience who would like to participate before we close this part of the meeting? No, there's no follow-up, sorry. Okay, just Robert's rules. Okay. You can come back the next council meeting for a follow-up. Or you can say, this was why I want to add this, or you can write an email, send us an email.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
The format of this meeting allows for one-way public comment. I've been trying to advocate for us to have a regular town hall, perhaps once a month, and I'm going to be trying to talk to the other council members about implementing a two-way conversation period that can occur on a regular basis, but that's not the format of this this meeting.
Right. I'm sorry, sir. This is the end of this, okay? Right. Okay. All right. Sorry, we do have a meeting. Thank you. So, Ms. Soulard, would you like to give the written comments, please?
There was no written comments for today.
Then we move on to the consent agenda. Items listed below will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired on an item, that item may be removed from the consent agenda and placed on the regular agenda at the request of a council member. 1, approval of bills, $2,081,974.74. Circuit 17 design contract amendment with Braxma Engineering, SCADA contract for the water distribution system, and a bid for electrical PVC purchase for inventory.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Is there a seconder?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Consent agenda passed 5-0. Council action items. Number 1, resolution 1922-23, adoption of the 6-year transportation improvement plan. Mr. Gandy, please.
Our request for the approval of the resolution 1922-23, adoption of the 6-year transportation improvement plan.
So, I have a question from staff there. This is a plan, so we can be amending this as we go along if we want to change something on the plan, right?
Yeah.
It's just a great idea to have a plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
6 years.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions for Mr. Gandy? No. Okay. After considering the public comment provided at the public hearing, staff recommends that council adopt resolution 1922-23, adopting the 2024 to 2029 6-year transportation improvement program.
I move that we approve that resolution.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, resolution 1922-23 is as adopted by 5-0. Okay, resolution 1923-23, a resolution of the City of Blaine Council to include the policy recommendations of the Ad Hoc Downtown Advisory Committee on Community Development Services Legislation Work Program for further review by the public, the Planning Commission, and the City Council. Ms. Pratchner, please.
Thank you so much, Madam Mayor and Council members. My pleasure to speak to Council. So as stated, provided in advance of your meeting today is a resolution for City Council's consideration to move forward broad policy guidance from the Ad Hoc Downtown Advisory Committee for the Council to direct CDS staff to move forward with the legislative process for amendments to both parking and height regulations in the Central Business District. As you know, we held a study session today from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. where Council and the Department reviewed the background and purpose of the Downtown Advisory Committee. We discussed the creation of the committee by City Council in 2022, eventually the choice of members that was made by City Council in 2022, and then the series of meetings that have been held in 2023, resulting in the package of recommendations that's in front of Council today. We also discussed the suite of options at Council's pleasure today to approve, deny, modify, send the work back, or additional options at the Council's pleasure on how to direct the department to move forward. So again, I will respectfully request that the Council consider approval of the resolution. If that is the outcome with Council this evening on July 10th, CDS will be presenting the remainder of the legislative work program for 2023 and 2024, as well as the comprehensive plan docket. So there'll be additional opportunity at that point to let staff know if this should be docketed as an item to review and study with the Planning Commission public, how then the Council would like that work prioritized. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions about our previous study session, the resolution, or anything else to help deliberations.
Okay.
I'd like to move that we postpone this action, tabling it to time certain of the July 10th City Council meeting due to a request from absent council members to make additional input before this gets released into the process. So that is a motion to a table to the July 10th meeting.
Is there a seconder? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion is passed 5-1. Okay, four to one. Sorry. Moving on then to resolution 1921-23, a resolution of the City of Blaine Council relating to a schedule for joint review of urban growth areas in advance of the 2025 comprehensive plan update. Ms. Pratchner again, please.
There we go. So thank you again, Madam Mayor and Council members. This evening, there is a proposed resolution in your agenda packet for this body to support a draft schedule for coordinated planning efforts between Blaine, between Whatcom County, and then also the other cities in Whatcom County to develop the methods, the data, and then eventually the updates that are going to facilitate the adoption of the periodic update of the 2000 to the 2025 comprehensive plan. CDS does recommend that Council approve the proposed schedule. The City County Planner Group, of which the city and I as a representative have a member, we've developed a pretty aggressive timeline to complete those state-required updates by 2025. You may have heard maybe mention a panic in the last department head update that we had, but we'll get it done in time. At this point, Whatcom County and also the cities of Nooksack, Sumas, and Everson, and also the Linden Councils have approved this proposed timeline. I believe Bellingham Council is considering it this evening, the same night we are, and Ferndale has it docketed for their council's consideration later in the month. So the purpose of having each of the jurisdictions agree to this general schedule is that there's some shared expectations, particularly among the elected officials, about milestones in this approximately two-year update process, both for, again, elected officials and also for members of the public. The city also has a current interlocal agreement that was approved in 2022 that anticipates the city, county, and the other cities approving a joint schedule for that periodic review. Thank you, as always, for your attention. I'll reaffirm the recommendation to approve the schedule. I'd be happy to answer any questions about the proposed schedule or the periodic update in general.
Are there any questions for Ms. Pratchner?
Is this referring to our normal Blaine comp plan we normally do, or is this just about this is just referring to this joint effort between multi-organizations? Okay,
that's
thank
correct.
You.
Any further questions? Does anyone like to make a motion that CDS respectfully requests that the City Council consider approving resolution 1921-23 relating to a schedule for joint county and city review of urban growth areas?
I motion.
Any seconders?
Second.
Okay.
You're about to fail for lack of a second, you know that?
Looking at me. I'm like, okay.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that is passed 5-0. Moving on to number 4, G Street Sewer Improvement Change Order number 2. Mr. Gandhi, please.
This change order is brought in front of the council due to a couple of the reasons, actually. So during our initial bidding process and with the geotech reports, it was determined that the soils that we have here are kind of like wet soils, and we needed a cover on top of it to acquire the compaction. So geofoam was listed as one of the products that was supposed to be used. And there was another issue that happened was a typing error during the contract tender preparation, and we missed out a zero out there. That was basically the consultant who missed that out there. So the quantity was not as required. We ordered a geofoam, and then we realized when we started digging up the ditch, we found that geofoam was not working to get the required compaction. On the other hand, it was recommended that if we don't use the geoform, we can use the rock, that's lava rock. And this is kind of a change order where we are requesting to, I'll ask Rodney, actually, the consultant, to come on live and give a little bit of explanation for that.
You appear to be muted, sir.
Naomi, can you help him out, please?
Can you write on a little chalkboard or something?
Okay, then there's something wrong with this. Sir, there's something wrong with your voice, as you know. We can't hear you. And Naomi says you're unmuted, so.
Can you type in the chat? Can that go on our screen?
Mr. Harmon?
Mayor, if I may jump in, it looks like our engineer is having some technical difficulties. Essentially, what happened with this project is, due to our soil conditions, geofoam was spec'd as a material to backfill our trench because of the depth of the trench, too much backfill, normal backfill would have crushed our pipe. So you needed some lighter backfill so it didn't crush our trench. When the contractor tried to compact the soils and reach the compaction required, which I think was around 98%, they described it as trying to compact the soils on a mattress. So they couldn't reach soil compaction. As a result, they have looked at a different material called scoria rock, which is similar to our old barbecues, the what I call lava rock. It's a porous rock. It's lightweight, and it will fill that trench up while not crushing our pipe. So part of what you're considering tonight is to switch the material from geofoam to this scoria rock. The second part of the request is that the original quantity for geofoam was not accurate. There was a zero left off on the original quantity. So you're increasing the quantity substantially and changing the material from geofoam to scoria rock. So that is a total change order of $558,615.20. So that's what's before you tonight, essentially.
Are there any questions for Mr. Harmon, please?
I had a couple questions. Mr. Gandhi, when you used the word we, was that referring to Public Works or to the contractor we selected for this job?
It was basically the consultant's.
It's the consultant's, okay.
The consultant who prepared the tender documentation, there was an error in quantity estimate.
Okay, so.
Not a quantity estimate, it was a zero that was left out.
So there is a contractor vendor on this job, isn't there?
Yeah.
But they were just working with what the consultant firm gave them. So they're cooking up the recipe we gave them to work with?
Yes.
Okay.
And every contractor, same thing? Sorry about it.
Please.
Every contractor had the same exact numbers?
Yeah. It was a tender bid. The bid quantity was same for all the, tender was the same for all the bidding companies.
Because I remember before this project started, I'm sorry you weren't here for that, but I remember we had an internal estimate that we were probably looking at a $6 million deal, and then when it came in as, oh, surprise, it's only $4 million. Could some of the reason why it came in so much lower than our initial estimate is because of this
underestimation? Would be because the bid quantity that shows on the tender document was 3,500 cubic, cubic feet. But actual was 35,000.
Yeah, that's considerably more, isn't it?
Considerably more, actually.
Okay, thank you very much.
Is the spoils about the same, if they were like priced side by side, is it cheaper to do with the spoil? I know they can't use the other one, but is it more expensive for spoils than it would be the other stuff?
No, basically, you need some, when you have the loose material taken out, you need some bulking factor in between that. So you need
The short answer is yes. So in other words, all things being equal, if we fill the trench with geofoam, that is more expensive than filling the trench with scoria rock.
Okay.
Yes, this is the cheaper solution.
And they just forgot a zero. Is there somebody, that sounds, I mean, that's quite a bit of money. Somebody, no red flag went off to anybody there. So the consultants, seeing this, they all went through this, and oh, we forgot a zero.
Madam Mayor?
Yeah, please.
That's correct.
Is there any chance, I'm just looking at the original bid from March 10th, is there any chance that number 3, 4, 5 had this included in their bid and we rewarded it to the lowest bidder as per our silly little state rule?
Madam, go ahead, please.
The answer would be no. We go through and we check quantities from all of the bidders, and all of the quantities are similar. So all of the bidders bid on the same package that was light by a factor of 100, the amount of material needed to fill the trench.
So the working vendors were, again, they were bidding in relation to that recipe that the consultant engineer kind of people had put together as to how it should be carried out, and then the workmen were just saying how much they had charged to do it as it was listed.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, please.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, any other further questions to Mr. Gandy?
It's just frustrating. It's ultimately, it's now the city has to pay an additional, with the two change orders, over $500,000. Doesn't seem right. So.
I find it's coming back up to what the original ballpark estimate.
Yeah, I agree.
It's kind of what we kind of thought it should have cost more, and we were rather surprised at how low
now
it was.
We know so it does.
Now we're just coming back to reality here. I am eager that if we ever are building a suspension bridge or a nuke facility or something, that we go over our figures a few more times before we build things in the future.
Okay. Are there any further questions before we ask for a motion? Okay. For the four of you, could somebody please make a motion on this item? Okay. Seconder.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm going to vote no.
You vote no. Okay. It's past 4-1. Thank you. Okay, number 5, resolution 1924-23, purchase of electrical generator with resolution of special market conditions. Mr. Gandy again, please.
So we are actually looking to purchase a used generator for $50,000. It has a few hundred hours. And we did a similar criteria for if we have the same unit or a new unit. So these are the prices, right? So the one that we are purchasing is $50,000, which actually has a transfer switch attached to it. The unit without any, on the other market, it's $55,000, and the new one will be $95,000 with no ATS, right? So an ATS almost cost around $50,000 install, right? So that's what we are recommending, actually, to have it purchased.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Gandy on the generator?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. That sounds like a deal. Do we know why Tom Hayes is selling the unit?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead, please.
They are upgrading their generator to one larger unit, a more efficient unit. Essentially. One of the questions I would anticipate is, what is the purpose? We have a number of our wells and lift stations that don't have any backup generation.
The second
right.
Question, what's our real life example of why we do
that?
What's the useful life of these generators? Do you know? How long with this investment? 3 to 5 years, 5 to 10, 1 year? What are the issues?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead, please.
Speculating, you know, depending on the engine, thousands of hours wouldn't be uncommon on a unit like this. And given the reliability of our electric utility, something like this could last us for 10 years. Oftentimes we'll see obsolescence or phased obsolescence of parts availability before we'll ever use its, basically use it up, so to speak. So I would say 10 plus years pretty confidently.
And then do we have some sort of trailer or some sort of device move this around, or are we looking at an additional purchase here?
Madam,
go ahead, please.
We do have a trailer that we plan to mount this generator on.
Any further questions for Mr. Gandhi on this? Again, lastly, would somebody like to make a resolution, please? Second. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Resolution 1924-23 is passed 5-0. That is the end of our council action items. We move on to commission, committee, and board reports, and we have a Park and Cemetery Board presentation. On my list.
Mayor, that should be just simply an update, okay. A report from Park and Cemetery Board representation.
And,
okay. And just Mr. Baldwin's absent this
Baldwin,
evening,
yeah, so that's right.
We'll postpone until
yep.
10 July?
Yeah, correct. Okay, department reports then.
Oh, I had a...
Oh, sorry, go ahead, sorry.
Not a really big item, but Joaquin Council of Governments, Bob Wilson retired, and so Hugh Conroy, who has been very obviously one of the most valuable members of the Joaquin Council of Governments, has now moved up to the top position that Bob Wilson has vacated. That's all I had to report.
Okay, thank you for that. All right, then we will go on to department reports. Mr. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. I feel like we could use some good news tonight. On a positive note, the city did receive our RAISE grant award, which is a major win for the city of Blaine. About $10 million anticipated in funding. We haven't received our notice of financial obligation yet from the federal government, but it's anticipated that we will soon. So with that money, then we'll proceed forward with design up to 30% on the Bell Road grade separation, which again, for all of our partners who live west of the intersection, this is a major public safety improvement. Our firefighter friends are here in the audience tonight, and we had a lot of partners from BNSF to partners at the federal, state, and local level who worked on this project, and a tremendous effort by our city staff to coordinate all of the contract employees and get this in, and we got it. So congratulations to Blaine. This is a really big, really big project for us, and we look forward to helping make this intersection come to fruition.
Go ahead, please, Mr.
I'd like to thank also and a special thanks to Garth Baldwin for, mm-hmm. he's the guy that initiated this thing and found the right people to talk to. It's a big attaboy for Garth for sticking his, he found us a good connection there. That's really good. Thank you, Garth, even wherever you're at.
Yeah, I'm sorry Mr. Baldwin can't be here because, yes, indeed, it was Garth's connections that he had that started the trains rolling, literally.
And I did jokingly tell him that if he pulls this off, I'll get a statue made of him.
No.
There we go.
So no.
I'm gonna have to eat that.
However, I would like to call out specially in the Public Works Department, Gary McSpadden and Manroop Kaur, who spent hours and hours and hours diligently working with the team from David Evans Associates, BNSF, WashDOT, and whatever, to do all the monitoring that was needed to get the data that was needed to hand this in. So, Gary and Manroop, thank you ever so much for all of your hard work. So...
I had a clarifying question for the record here. The total project to do the overpass over the train is going to be probably, you know, over $70 or $80 million or something like that. So this initial amount is kind of the getting it shovel ready kind of money. Is that correct?
Go ahead.
So as I mentioned, it will get us to 30% design. It won't get us to shovel ready. This will get us 30% of the way there. And for clarification, it's both for the grade separation and bridge replacement over the creek. So
okay,
about
two,
30% of
two big projects that are connected in that area. And would you estimate that them putting this money into it would make it much less likely for them to deny the any additional monies that we're going to need later to complete the project? Would that be your hope?
Madam Mayor?
Go ahead, please.
I would like with every part of my heart to believe the federal government wouldn't throw $10 million at a project they weren't likely to support down the road.
Thank you.
We're on their radar.
However, I would comment that at the meeting that was held by this group that has been working on this for the past few minutes, the very first thing that was said by everybody is we have to do all of the due diligence from here on. We're not resting on our laurels. We are going to continue to put the same amount of effort in to move to the next step and the step and the step and the step as we have done for the first step. So there we are. Okay, yes, it is good news. Do you have any bad news that you have to tell us now?
No, Madam Mayor, that will conclude my remarks.
Oh, there was bad news scheduled that's been stricken, isn't there?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
My estimation, we have no need for executive session tonight.
Very good.
Okay. Excellent. So there are calendars to look at, and don't forget that in July, our special city council meeting is going to replace our regular city council meeting. Is there any council unfinished business? Any council new business? And we've taken the executive session off, so the meeting can be adjourned then. So the meeting is adjourned at 7:13. Thank you.